Welcome to Settle in the Ring, our wrestling debate show brought to you by the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your humble, gracious host, Daniel Hummer, and I am here with my brother and some good friends. First, I'll introduce my one of the three contestants tonight, my brother Doug.
Yo.
I want to introduce our good friend Kenny. How you doing tonight, Kenny?
Good. How about you guys?
Can't complain.
Good.
Can't complain. Also, Clint is here.
Yeah, how are you?
Good to have you, Clint. Eric's here. Me and Eric are the judges tonight.
What's up?
What's up, man?
I'll be fair as I can be.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun time. I can't wait. Before we get started here, I'm going to pass it to Doug to do a couple plugs, and then we'll get into it.
All right. Listen to Boxman and Smirk, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixler.com/DirtSheetDudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, about 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. Listen to us, Friday nights, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, blogtalkradio.com/EverythingUnscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This upcoming Friday night, we got a special one. We are going to go back to the year 1988. I mean, we're not going back in a time machine or anything. But we're going to go back to the year 1988, February 5th, 1988. And we are going to talk about the main event. The special Friday night broadcast on NBC. It was the Hogan-Andre rematch from WrestleMania 3. Because this Friday will be the 33rd anniversary of this event. So it's very timely. And I figured it out. I figured it out yesterday afternoon. That's why I said, let's do it then. The dates, I put the dates together. All right. Control Chaos will be coming back after football season is over with. So listen to that. Sundays, we'll probably be back, what, Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
So that's 5 p.m. on Sunday, same channel. Listen to Eric Clinton and I Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern time here on blogtalkradio.com/EverythingUnscripted for the NFL Hard Hits show. And we will be previewing the Super Bowl. Now, real quick.
Possibly a special guest.
All right, yeah, and there also will be a special guest. I mean, not really that special, but I know who it is. Also, get us subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/EU podcast. We got Doug's history lesson on there, two episodes of that. Some fun stuff we did with Tracy Smothers tribute show, among other things. Real quick before we get into it, for our fantasy league that we have going on between myself and Stevie and Daniel and Eric and Clintus. Tomorrow night, Clintus, you're the only one I haven't talked to about this yet. With the Royal Rumble, if your male participant or female participant wins their respective Royal Rumble match, obviously the 30-person over-the-top rope Royal Rumble, either the men's or the women's, you're going to get 100 points.
Sounds good.
For your person winning. If your person lasts the longest in the Rumble, that is 25 points. It's a 25-point bonus. If your person eliminates the most people or has the most eliminations, 50 points. 5 points per elimination, 4 points when your person is eliminated. Now, obviously, your Raw roster is Drew McIntyre, Asuka, the Viking Raiders are not involved, so. But you have Drew McIntyre, Asuka, and Bobby Lashley representing Raw. R-Truth and Tucker are not in the Rumble, so I'm not going to ask you if you want to put them in, because that would be stupid. Representing SmackDown, you have Sasha Banks. Dolph Ziggler is in the Rumble. I don't know if Bobby Roode's going to be in it or not. I would think he would be. Sami Zayn and Otis. So that is your representation into tomorrow's Rumble. Okay. So I thought we would do some roster setting, but we don't because he basically has his bench, jobbers on his bench.
There you go.
which actually worked out. All right. Floor over to you, Dan.
All right, gentlemen. Settle the ring. This is going to be a semi-discussion, more of a debate, but it's going to be some time. I will go over the little rules we have real quick, but it's nothing too much. I chose the three very articulate, very smart wrestling fans in Doug, Kenny, and Clint. I just want to give you guys your props.
I was just going to say three very articulate, smart wrestling fans. What are they?
You guys are really smart.
Speak for yourself, Doug.
I love talking to all three of you guys about wrestling, so that's why I cannot wait for this. But a little rundown on the rules.
The check didn't clear, did they? That's why you're shuttering us up.
Exactly. But before we get started, we're going to have four rounds. This is all Royal Rumble themed. We sent you guys the questions, and you sent us your answers earlier this week. If you're having trouble remembering any of the answers, just let me know. I got your guys' list. The only thing for the first one, the greatest overall Royal Rumble performer, Kenny, you're going to be arguing for HBK because Clint chose Stone Cold as well.
So just okay.
But yeah, four rounds.
Spoiler alert.
I just wanted to get that out there. We're going to start each round by everyone. I'm going to give it to everyone. They're going to go through their a short little pitch, kind of talk about why there's the best option, and then I'll ring the metaphorical bell, and we'll get a little debate going. And at the end, me and Erica, the judges, we each have a point to give. We will give our point, and then at the end of the four rounds, we'll calculate all the points, and whoever has the most at the end of the four rounds wins this thing. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to start out with, who is the greatest overall performer in the Royal Rumble history? In Royal Rumble history, who is the greatest performer of all time? There's a lot to choose from, but I am going to give it to Doug first. Doug, who's the greatest performer in Royal Rumble history?
My answer is Kane. And I'm saying Kane because how many Rumbles he's been in? He's been in 18 of them. 13 of them in a row. He has the record for most overall elimination or most overall all-time eliminations. Okay? And for the longest time, he had a record for 13 years for most records in a single Rumble match at 11. Now, I know everybody's going to say, well, he didn't win one. Well, you don't have to win one. You have the longevity. Kane could technically be considered Mr. Royal Rumble. You have your Mr. WrestleMania. You have your Mr. Some people say, okay, well, Edge is probably Mr. SummerSlam or Bret Hart's Mr. SummerSlam, whatever the fuck. You call Randy Orton Mr. Survivor Series. Kane is Mr. Royal Rumble.
Okay. Very good pitch. Kenny, what do you got? Who's the best overall performer in the Royal Rumble?
Well, I think you gave it away before.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to go with Shawn Michaels because just like everything else he does, he's always stealing the show and start stopping the show. And, you think about the Royal Rumble and you think about where the couple things you remember really succinctly is like him, beating, what was it? It was the one he beat, skinning the cat and beating Brett or whoever. But, he's also the only guy who, in my opinion, they went somewhere with it. Like he just didn't win it, and then they just, didn't do anything. He won it, and then he went on to WrestleMania, right? Won the belt.
Very true.
I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, he was a guy who, it's hard to, really not make the point that he isn't the best, because when you think about, Kane is impressive and stuff, and there are other guys, obviously we'll hear from Clement in a minute. But when I think of, Royal Rumble and, when it meant something, right away, Shawn Michaels comes right to my mind. So that's what I think about it.
All righty, very good. All right, Clint, who do you got?
Mine's going to be the best one around. I think it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, the only person who won three Royal Rumbles of all time, two back-to-back. One he got screwed out of. He almost went coast to coast in 99 until the whole corporation screw job. And after those two Royal Rumble wins led him to two WWE championship matches, at which he won against The Rock at WrestleMania 15 and 17. Started the whole Attitude Era with in 98, along with the whole feud with Mr. Man. He holds the most of the, he was going on what? Longest? Just the best. I mean, you say Shawn Michaels, yeah, Michaels might have won two Royal Rumbles. But then again, he also was able to outsmart and win his first. Yes, you could say he got eliminated in 97 on Bret Hart, and then nobody saw he went back, and but it still counts as a win.
All right. Dig, Doug, why is your pick better than Kenny's and Clinton's? And everyone feel free to interject now.
Okay. Here's the thing. Kane, like I said, 18 Rumble matches this guy has been in. Okay, holds the record for most overall all-time eliminations. More than Austin, more than Shawn Michaels. Okay, I get it. You know, everybody's going to say, he didn't win the Rumble. He didn't have to win the Rumble. Shawn Michaels is called Mr. WrestleMania. He's won 5 WrestleMania matches. Okay, so you... Obviously, if you're called Mr. Something, you don't actually have to be good at it. Okay? You can suck at a particular event and still have it fucking, and still be called Mr., you know, whatever. So, you know, Kane obviously, you know, holds the record, like I said. Now, Austin, yes, 3-time Rumble winner. How many Rumbles has he been in?
Austin.
If anybody doesn't know, all right, like 96, 97, 98, 99, 2001, 2002. He's been in 6.
5. Yeah, 6.
All right, so he's been in 6, right? One of them was as the ringmaster. All right, he's been in 6. Yes, I get it. He's won 3 of them. But one, he didn't even really win. He got eliminated. Okay? Right. Bret Hart got
fucked. Well, somebody sucked.
Bret Hart got fucked, which was apparently Bret Hart was always getting sodomized with a rusty fishing knife in 1997, and usually it was by Austin, which I don't know why he would use a rusty fishing knife. He doesn't fish, he hunts, so maybe it was a rusty gun tip or something. I don't fucking know. Right. Shawn Michaels has already missed a WrestleMania. He doesn't need another goddamn title. All right. Give something to Kane besides let him be the mayor of Tennessee.
All right, okay.
So let him have this one.
Okay, let's just pair Kane to this. But what has the Rumble led to Kane do, like, championship-wise? Like Austin and like Shawn Michaels, they led to world title victories at WrestleMania. Kane just has a whole record. It hasn't really fathered his career. It's not like he headlined WrestleMania, which is the point of wrestling, the Royal Rumble altogether.
Kenny was saying something. Kenny?
Yeah, I'm really going to be honest, guys. I really wanted Austin. So I'm going to just lambaste Doug for a couple of minutes about his terrible pain and hopefully Clemmy gets the point. I'm just kidding about being a terrible pain. It's not a bad opinion, but I will say, first off, he's the mayor of Knox County, not the mayor of Tennessee. You think you'd have a governor. Secondly, okay, yeah.
Well, Knox County is in Tennessee.
One five-foot WrestleMania match, but he did win them. He did win some WrestleMania matches. Kane won no Rumbles. And I can't even... And here's the thing, and here's why the real reason... Well, a less snarky reason is because if you watch, every time he came out, I never once believed Kane was going to win the Royal Rumble. Not once. Ever. Never bought it. Never even thought it was a possibility. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Anyone got anything else, or what else? You.
I think. All right. I get what they're saying. I mean, I disagree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I do agree with the fact that yes, Kane is the mayor of Knox County and not the mayor of Tennessee. But last I checked, Knox County is in Tennessee, so he is the mayor of some
town in Tennessee.
So, but again, Sean, Mike, the thing is, Kane didn't win any Royal Rumbles, but still. He usually had the best moments at a Royal Rumble. 2001. I mean, yes, Austin won the Rumble, but people talk mostly about the fact that Kane eliminated 11 guys. Right? Kane spent 55 to 60 minutes in the Rumble. Austin was in the ring for probably 15 minutes because when he got eliminated, Triple H beat the shit out of him, and he stood out and he sat outside for 10 minutes or whatever the fuck. Shawn Michaels. He won the Rumble in 95. One of the worst Rumbles. Okay. Did he win the title at that year's WrestleMania? No. 96. Yes, he won the Rumble. Who did he eliminate to win the Royal Rumble? One of the main guys that was sucking his cock. All right. And yeah, he won the title and all that. But no, I'm still sticking by it. I'm dying on this sword. Kane is the greatest Royal Rumble.
I would say Kane is the greatest Royal Rumble. He's the more Royal Rumble jobber of all time. Let's put it that way.
Ooh.
He holds
I like that.
He holds the records of most eliminations consecutive. Yeah. But what had it led to, like, WrestleMania? The point of the Royal Rumble is to headline WrestleMania. How many WrestleManias has Kane actually headlined? World title-wise.
You might want to call. Pork is too personal.
Okay. Ding, ding. That is the end of round one. Oh, wow. that was... That's awesome. Doug, very passionate. I'll give my verdict first, and then I'll throw it to you, Eric. You were listening closely, right? You got all that?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Sweet. Very passionate pitch, Doug. I really was following you at first.
You lost it.
Well, I didn't lose interest, but I feel like Plymouth really disembodied well by saying that it really is – the Royal Rumble is its own thing, but the point is to get to WrestleMania.
Yeah, which you don't even win after that.
Well, all right, let the judge. But they really, and Kenny and Clinton both kind of took down your points in a very good fashion to where you're right. Kane did have memorable performances, but he didn't win anything. And I think it was kind of hard to overcome that hill. Between Kenny and Clinton, I mean, Kenny outright admitted he wanted Stone Cold. So to me, it's not. At that point, I'm going to have to go Plymouth for round one. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, Doug was very passionate. I'll give him that. He was just, he really,
really
tried. But unfortunately, I'm going with Plymouth with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
Eric, I want a divorce.
Round one in the books. Plymouth has a 2-0 lead so far. So Plymouth starting out strong in round one. We're about to start round two, gentlemen. And the round two question is, what is the worst Royal Rumble match of all time? Kenny, I'm going to start with you. What do you got?
Okay, so here's my opinion on this. I remember watching a lot of them. I think they were all entertaining on some level. For me, the worst one, and it really wasn't like it was bad as in like offensively bad, but like the 2000 Royal Rumble, I thought was just like, I'm trying to remember. Was it after or before Cactus Jack and Triple H?
That was at 2000, right?
What?
Cactus Jack.
Yeah, it was at 2000.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but was the match before or after the Rumble?
It was before the Rumble.
Before.
That's what I thought. After that match, because, you know, it was like, it's Cactus Jack, you know, Mick Foley resurrecting Cactus Jack once again for a street fight, you know. That's going to be something to see, and it kind of like, it's just like, oh, we still have a Rumble to go? Really? What? And I thought, like, and there was a lot of low blows in that match, too, which you got to move ridiculous. It started getting AJ Styles Nakamura vibes off it. So, yeah, I would say it was that one. It was, again, not particularly, like, you know, not offensive or anything, but just, like, you know, everything else they did in the year 2000, like, they really brought it. But, like, just that match was, like, not really that great.
Okay. Clintus, what is the worst Royal Rumble match of all time?
I'll say the very first 40-man Royal Rumble 2011. I think that was probably, like, the worst idea they think they ever, because of the rule changes. You're used to seeing people come in every 90 to 2 minutes at a time. There, you're coming in every 45 seconds. And then what makes it worse is now that you see the rest of the pay-per-view, they're on a three-hour time limit here. The Royal Rumble itself is like an hour-long match. So you're trying to squeeze 40 men that have their own highlight reel, force people down their throats every 45 seconds or 40 seconds. You're trying to rush a match to make it seem bigger than really what it has to be. And then you get to the final moments when you see Santana Marella gets thrown underneath the ropes and hit to, like, the last part of the match. And you're really going to sit there and say, oh, Santino Marella almost snuck and won the Royal Rumble against Alberto Del Rio? I'm not saying 40 guys, and you want to sit there and squeeze and cut down. It took the thrive of it because you're so used to giving that 2 minutes is good for a nice spike, but yet you're just throwing people out there at a time, rushing. You don't need that.
All right. Very well said. Doug, what do you got?
All right. My pick for worst Royal Rumble match is 2012. All right. Now, don't get me wrong. I was a huge fan of Sheamus at that time. All right. And it was nice to see him kind of get a push. But it really wasn't much of a push because it was an 18-second match at WrestleMania. And his world title run was kind of lackluster to me. But just getting to the Royal Rumble, it just sucked. Because the Royal Rumble, like, the best part about the Royal Rumble is, okay, you know, you get like six, seven, eight guys in the ring at a time. Okay? This Royal Rumble, you had four guys in the ring battling. A fifth guy comes in. One or two guys then get eliminated. It wasn't really much of a rumble. It was more like a fucking tornado tag or some stupid shit. Right? And then the big, you know, Royal Rumble is always big on their surprises, right? Three of the surprises were fucking announcers. Michael Cole, Jerry the King Lawler, and Booker T. Whoopsie fucking do. Okay? Then you had Karma come in. Awesome Kong. You know, she was a surprise entrant. And, you know, it was some big surprise. Like, that was supposed to be, like, her big in-ring debut. She was gone a month later because she was so depressed over the fact that, you know, she had lost her child and all that. And I'm not going to talk shit about that because that is very, very rough and very sad.
Yes.
So I'm not going to talk shit about her, even though I'm not necessarily a fan of hers. But it was just there were wasted surprises. The only good surprise in that match was Road Dogg coming out. Right? And he didn't even. And then the big surprise return, Great Khali? What the fuck? So, no, I mean, 2012 has to go down as one of the worst fucking Royal Rumble matches of all time. The surprises sucked. Not really any big moment. I mean, so what? Kofi Kingston did a headstand. Whoopsie goddamn do. All right? And I'm not just saying that it's just because I can't do a headstand. But who cares? Who cares about doing a fucking headstand? Who cares about the announcers entering into the Royal Rumble? Who cares about Khali returning? Everybody hates him anyway.
Hey, I was a big Khali fan. You know, watch him out. I like Khali.
Great. All right. Dig. I'll let you start us off here.
I got questions.
What's up?
We're not including that stupid Royal Rumble, right, from Saudi Arabia, correct?
No, Greatest Royal Rumble will not count here. So.
Well, it should count it because it was the worst, but not for our purposes.
Yeah.
No. I enjoyed the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Oh, Lord. Well, all right.
Okay.
Ding, ding. Clinton, why is yours worse than the other two?
All right, I want to say that this is worse. Unlike this, we have 40 minutes. The point of the Royal Rumble, you have time in that 2-minute span between each competitor coming out. It's to build momentum, give that superstar the chance to clear the ring, shine, do his move. And under 90-something seconds, you can't – in 90 seconds, you have to have plenty of time to do that before the next person. 45 seconds is not enough to give that superstar time to do – get that crowd hyping it. Let's put it that way. Because you're just constantly throwing people out to try to save face. If you're going to expand to a 40 people into a Royal Rumble, you do not need to cut down the time. This is to save TV time or TV purposes. You don't need it. You don't need to cut it down just to throw it in. Have 40 people in there. As you can see with the Greatest Royal Rumble, they was able to keep that 2 minutes warm. Yeah, you had 50 guys in there, but yet everybody sure had that time to shine.
Okay. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about, 45 seconds. Well, what I remember, the intervals were still like 90 seconds in because the match went like an hour and 15 minutes.
No,
if it,
it was 45 seconds. It was cut everybody down.
Somebody looked that up. I don't think he's right.
All right. I'll fact check.
Well, put it like this. They gimmick that clock anyways. It's never as much time as anything.
That is true.
But
I do that.
I get what he's going for. I get that I understand in certain cases that I can see what he's going for though, and the idea of that they don't. You know, you need that time. You need that. You need, you know, it's not a good enough thing. You're not getting enough reward for what you're, for what they're asking you to sacrifice for what they're adding, right? Like 40 guys, like 10 more guys, and we're going to cut down the entrance time. Is it really that big of a deal? You know?
What year was that?
That was 2011.
Okay. So here's the thing. 2011 and 2000, the purpose of like the Royal Rumble match is to be entertaining for the most part, right?
Yeah.
As long as you're entertained by it, as long as you're enjoyed by it, or as long as you enjoy it, you know, who cares if it was good or not? 2000, I actually enjoyed, even though it was a shitty finish at the end. Because I thought some of the action was good. Bob Backlund coming out entertained me just because of JR's reaction. I was like, what the hell is Bob Backlund doing here? Okay? That was entertaining. The whole Too Cool and Rikishi dancing thing, that was entertaining. And I thought the action was good for the most part. 2011, I thought it had good action. I was entertained by it. The whole Santino Perella thing at the end, I was entertained by it. 2012 was not entertaining. 2012 was, why the fuck, like, I came home from work that day and found out that Kenny had ordered the pay-per-view, and I think I was actually still in charge of the cable bill at the time, or not this Kenny, obviously, the other Kenny. I came home and found out Kenny had ordered it, I wanted to kill him. Because I think I was still paying the cable bill at that time. Like, how dare you fucking waste my fucking money by ordering this shit? So, like, 2012 was just god-awful. And there was no payoff for Sheamus. All right? At least, like, you got something out of, I mean, yeah, the whole, there was controversy of the 2000 Rumble, but the Rock Big Show thing was entertaining. Rock would go on, you know, Rock obviously was becoming one of the biggest stars. 2011, you know, Alberto didn't get to shine as much as, you know, he probably should have after winning that thing. So I get it, you know. I can see their points, but 2012 to me is just 10 times worse than 2011, 50 times worse than 2000. It just, it sucked. And you cannot find a good thing about that. At least you could point out some of 2011 and 2000.
Okay, but what? Look at 2012. You said Sheamus won that. And he won the title in 18 seconds over a job. Got awful opening match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The point, I got awful match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Compared to you got Alberto Del Rio, who wins the match, like I say twice, you could say that year, because of a jobless so-called, they probably forgot that Santino Morello's even in a match. Everybody was.
Yeah, but it was still that ending to me was still entertaining. Well, for two reasons. One is because I actually did like Santino Marella at the time. And two, because Kenny was there watching the Rumble with us. He had picked Alberto to win, and he was almost shitting his pants when it looked like Santino was going to win. Because another ours picked Santino. And just, so to me, anytime you see Kenny, you know, almost be wrong, it's entertaining to me.
Well, I'm glad he was right that year. That one.
That's another reason I liked that year, because that was the year. Wait a minute, the Sheamus one. Oh, that's why. I was on a roll. I had predicted Edge and Alberto Del Rio. I could have had three in a row I was going to pick. And I picked Jericho, and Sheamus fucking tossed Jericho out.
All right. Kenny, is there any more you wanted to add? Is there anything you liked about their Rumbles that maybe is why you're worse than theirs?
No, just that it was underwhelming in my view. Like, I mean, it wasn't, the other ones were, you know, they were fine matches, but mine, it just like, it didn't feel like it was, you know, I just didn't think it had the spark that the Royal Rumble should have.
Okay. All right. That settles round two. Eric, I'm going to throw it to you. That was another good round with very good points from all three of you guys. Eric, what did you think? Who do you think got that one?
I'm going to go with Mr. Douglas, because I liked 2000. I mean, I thought that was entertaining, as you said. And then 2011, it's remembered because of what a man. In 2012, I don't really remember that as much as the other two. So I'm going with 2012.
Absolutely. I liked everyone's points. The points about the intervals and stuff, I will agree with Kenny, because I know that for a fact that they gimmick the clock quite a bit in every Royal Rumble. So some guys might come out in 70 seconds. Some guys might come out in 50 seconds. You never really know sometimes. They try to make it official, but they do gimmick the clock. The points, Doug really made a case about 2012 and, you know, how awful it was, and Sheamus, and how that payoff wasn't enough. I mean, I think the payoffs from all three of these Royal Rumble wins were pretty bad. because Rock didn't win at WrestleMania that year either. And we know what Del Rio did. I like everyone's points here. I'm going to have to give the point to Kenny because sometimes I think it is worse to be so unoffensive and so mild that it's kind of like unforgettable and there's nothing there to it than outright bad. So I'm going to give the point to Kenny on that one.
So
this is getting too close.
Now, going into round three, we're halfway done here. We got Clintus leading with two. Kenny and Doug both have 1 point. Our round three question is, what is the greatest Royal Rumble moment? Everyone talks about Royal Rumble moments. It's almost as big as WrestleMania. What's the greatest Royal Rumble moment of all time? And I'm going to start with you, Kenny.
Okay, for me, the greatest Royal Rumble moment is a double here, because there's the personal level and there's the level that was just fucking cool as a wrestling fan. The best Royal Rumble moment is Edge surprise returning and winning the Royal Rumble in 2010. Because I picked Edge. And your brother was like, he's not even there, blah, 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 blah. And Edge, number 29, Edge's music hits. Your brother looked at me like I was out of my mind. I had the six in. But it was just cool because here's Edge. It's been, you know, there weren't any plans to bring it. Nobody was talking about him. Nobody was anything about him. And all of a sudden, boom, here he is. It's Edge. And he wins it, too, on top of it. That was the biggest thing. So, to me, that was the best because it was a moment, an unexpected surprise, like a great moment. Because nobody actually thought it. I didn't even really think it. I was just fucking with your brother. Edge was going to show up. But it was really good. It was so Edge coming back was my moment.
All right, Doug.
I do remember that, and I do remember being so pissed off about that. But my greatest Royal Rumble moment is I got to go, and I watched this today. Undertaker entering at number 30 and finally winning a Royal Rumble. Okay? And the reason why I'm picking that is because, one, I didn't think anybody else would. And two, it's like, okay, Undertaker, you know, he was known mainly for, you know, WrestleMania and for the streak and all that. And nobody, like, Jim Ross has even said before that Royal Rumble is Undertaker's worst event. He is not good at this event. He said it a couple of times. And he's entered number 30, like, twice. Okay? He entered number 30 for the third time. And he has, like, this great exchange with Shawn Michaels at the very end. Two legends, right? And it was so cool to watch as a fan. And finally, Undertaker gets that moment and gets the WrestleMania moment and has that awesome match with Batista, and there was a payoff there. Okay? That was the payoff. Now, unfortunately, it didn't last long because Undertaker tore his elbow, which nobody would have found out had not JBL said it on pay-per-view, because JBL's an idiot. But no, just like the fact, to me, that's a great Royal Rumble moment because of what it led to for The Undertaker.
Okay.
Finally, after 8 tries, finally in the Rumble and doing it at a number that, even though it's the luck of the draw, nobody in the history of the Rumble won it from the last position.
Dennis, what do you got?
I'm going to go with 2006 Rey Mysterio winning the Royal Rumble. The biggest underdog to not only win the Royal Rumble, but do it from number two. Lasted over an hour. The record was so-called broken because of the Greatest Royal Rumble, which I'm not going to count. But lasted only an hour. Can officially say he beat 29 guys. This one key thing that I don't like about some Rumble winner is to say you beat 20 guys. When you come in halfway through the run, you didn't technically beat 29 guys. Two years. You beat whatever your number came in short. And then he dedicated that match to Eddie Guerrero, which made it even touching moment because it was like the anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's death. The smallest guy to ever and then go on to win the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania, 22? Beating Randy Orton and Kurt Angle in a triple threat match.
Okay. Ding, ding. Kenny, why is your moment better than the others, Tills?
Well, you know, the others are great moments. Don't make no mistake, because they were a big deal. Because, you know, there's the emotional connection with Eddie, and there's the emotional payoff for The Undertaker finally doing something he hadn't done yet. But mine is the best one because you got to remember what happened off of it. You know, you had Edge coming back from an injury, and then it was him and Jericho at Mania, which I think was a good match. It might have been, in fact, I want to say it might have been the only good match on the card. And he won the belt. And so it was like, and it was the first time in, oh my God, 6 years he had been a good guy, a face. And so it just all worked. It built this progression the way you want it. Here the guy comes back from injury. He does the thing. He goes after the guy who was his tag team partner and had been a jerk to him through all of that. And it just worked. So that's why my moment is better.
All right. So here's the thing. My moment is better because, like, again, Undertaker, after 8 tries, 2 other tries at number 30, he finally gets the payoff. The Edge thing, you know, it was great. You know, good for him. He came back from a surgery and all that. He came in. He won it at 29. You know, he really didn't break much of it. I think the match went on like another 7 or 8 minutes after he got into the ring, because there was only 3 guys in there when he got there. And the match with Jericho, I mean, I'm going to disagree with him. I thought that match sucked. All right, at Mania. Didn't like the match at all. It was not the best. The best match on the card was the main event between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Or hell, I actually think Randy Orton beating Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes was a better match than Edge and Jericho. Okay? And as far as 2006 goes, and I'm proud, well, I'm going to hell anyway, but as far as 2006 goes, Rey Mysterio, yes, accomplished something great. He was able to beat 29 other guys, which even when Ric Flair won at 92 at number 3, he beat 28.
And wasn't that year, too, Ric Flair only had to go to 20 guys, though?
Well, Ric Flair went through 28 guys, won the title.
No. Wasn't that like the 20 man World Rumble?
No, that was 30 guys. Okay, so and Ray, you know, it was great for him and all that. It was most, but the only reason why they pushed him is because Eddie Guerrero passed away. Had Eddie Guerrero still been alive, Ray probably would have been out there for 10 minutes and then chucked over the top rope, okay? They exploited Eddie Guerrero's legacy. Alright? Hell, they still exploited for like another 7-8 years after that by keeping that pig that he was married to employed.
All right.
Okay? So, you know, I get it. Everybody was inspired. At that moment, wasn't inspiring. Because the match at WrestleMania, the triple threat match, it went like 9 minutes. Right? And then Ray's title reign sucked. Now, I get it. Undertaker didn't have a good title reign, but Undertaker got hurt. That's why the reign got cut short. Ray lost every fucking match he had when he went. The only person he actually pinned during that title reign was JBL, or he may have pinned Orton. Everything else was either a disqualification or it's a non-title loss or stopped due to whatever. Ray's reign sucked. The only reason why they gave him the reign is because he was good friends with Eddie Guerrero, right? Because they were exploiting Eddie Guerrero's name and legacy, right? Had Eddie Guerrero still been alive, Ray Mysterio, well, first of all, they wouldn't have done anything with Eddie. They would have just kept him there, and, you know, because he's a good company guy, he would have kept, you know, he would have just been okay with whatever. All right, and hopefully they would have kept Vicky off TV. I mean, having her on TV is one of the reasons why, you know, most people had to buy a widescreen. But, no, Undertaker coming in, again, it's from the standpoint of he finally accomplished something that he did, that he was not able to do. Kept trying and trying and trying and could not succeed. And again, the Edge thing, you know, good for him, he came back from an injury. All right. But again, no real payoff there. Rey Mysterio, you know, wins the Royal Rumble, good for him. The only reason why he did it is because they were dragging Eddie Guerrero's name through the mud. They were trying to get everything they could off of him, even though he was already gone.
But it's a rebuttal. That was kind of that's your point.
You say he was using it as they're trying to use Eddie Guerrero's name. Okay, maybe. But the point is, you're telling a story here. And you're talking from a little underdog story from a guy who went from number two to outlast 20 guys in. You two, both Undertaker and Edge, came in at number 30 and 29. You know, you had the last 5 minutes to eliminate, what, four or five people. Yes, Edge came back from an injury. Everybody came in from an injury. John Cena the next year came back 4 months earlier to win a Royal Rumble. Injury. That's what the number 30 is starting to become. Whoever's making their big return who's going to win a Royal Rumble comes in at number 30 to win it. Or 29. You're talking Rey Mysterio lasted 29 minutes. And it's not like he got eliminated, he fell out of the ring. No, he was in that ring the whole entire time. There was no guarantee, there was no ifs, ands, but about it. He was in there the whole time. He outlasted Triple H, Randy Orton was the final through. Triple H was the second longest. He was number one. the second to the last guy eliminated. Right, and you mean to tell me... And yeah, it's nice to see, but come on. and people say, well, it's the old Eddie Guerrero. They're best friends, and yes, it's a storybook. And I know they're probably you could say that you're going to drag Eddie Guerrero's name around, but how else are you going to promote a pay-per-view, especially an underdog story? A little man like Rey Mysterio going against Mark Henry. Mark Henry, a Big Show, outlasting those guys. Guys can just easily just pick them up any time and throw them over the top rope, but outlasting them all.
All right. Kenny, Doug gave you a good amount to dive into. If you got anything else, sir?
Well, look, I'm not going to – let me put it like this. Okay, yes. The Rey Mysterio thing, yes, there is the exploitation of Eddie Guerrero's and all the things that go with it. But, you know, in the end, that's wrestling, all right? Wrestling business. Yeah, it was sad they died, but it also got Rey into a spot, you know. I mean, come on. Punk didn't die, but it also, him going away gave us Daniel Bryan in the Yes Movement. So that's what wrestling is. Someone goes away for whatever reason. Someone comes in and is the beneficiary of all that. What was for that person? So, you know, Was it a little tasteless? Yeah, but it was at least, you know, something. As far as what was Doug's example?
Undertaker winning.
Yeah, Undertaker.
Again, you know, nothing wrong with that, but I think you look at just how they did it with Edge, because he was a total surprise, and they actually built it, you know, they gave it a little time to grow, you know, they had Jericho, when Edge went away, he was bad-mouthing Jericho, and then it kind of, he came back, they had the little thing, and then it built WrestleMania, and it was, maybe I was wrong about the match, but I remember that WrestleMania was not particularly, everything but the Shawn Michaels match was not particularly great, but it at least had the potential to be great. But I think in the end, Edge is just a good story. That's how I see it.
All right, ding, ding. End of round three. Very good discussion there. Very good debate there. Eric, what do you think?
I think all three guys had great points. This is a very close one.
I agree.
I mean, I like all three winners, but I'm going to go with The Undertaker because that was one of my favorite moments between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, and that led up to that led up to the Mania match, right?
Yes, it did.
Well, it led to Undertaker Batista.
Okay. And then the following year.
No. Because the following year, they both started, the next year, they both started the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
I'm going to go with Doug.
Okay.
It pays out to sleep with one of the guys.
All right. Now, the three, I really enjoyed everyone's pitches. Clint's argument was good. I do think that it might have hurt his own argument a little bit because the Rey Mysterio thing, you're right, he didn't come out 29 or 30. He outlasted all those guys. But to me, that's one of the best Royal Rumble performances, maybe not a moment. So I had to kind of cancel Clint out, even though it was a great discussion. Between Doug and Kenny, when you're thinking Undertaker winning the Rumble was awesome, but are you really thinking about how he was the first one that did it at 30 and stuff like that? And, Undertaker finally won one. I think out of terms of a genuine moment, Kenny's got the best pitch. So I'm going to have to give the point to Kenny again. That, of course, makes our fourth and final round, unless there's a sudden death, very interesting. Because going
we're all tied at 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2.
We have a three-way tie at 2. If me and Eric give separate points and we have a two-way tie, then we're going to go into sudden death after round four.
Okay.
And then whoever gets canceled out will be a judge with me and Eric. But to start out round four, our fourth and maybe final round, all right, guys, who should win this year's Women's Royal Rumble and why? Doug, let's start with you.
Okay, so my original answer got canceled out because it was taken, so I had to come up with a new one. I'm going Bayley, and I'm going Bayley because, you know, one, she hinted about it on the Stone Cold podcast or on Broken Skull Sessions or whatever it's called. Can't remember what it's called, but it was one of my favorite shows on the network. That, you know, she would like to win the Royal Rumble this year, have a singles match at WrestleMania. And so I think, you know, they should lead towards that because she deserves, you know, everything she's accomplished in the past year makes me sick. Not my pitch, what we're seeing on the TV right now. You know, everything she's accomplished in the past year, she has yet to win a Royal Rumble. The only accolade she has not had yet, correct?
Yes.
So, cement her legacy, because right now she is on the greatest run she's ever been on. All right? I know Eric's a huge fan of hers. So I might be pandering a little bit.
Are we buttering up?
Yeah.
are you buttering? I like to call a flag on a play there. That's a flag.
Yeah. So, but like Bailey to me, because to be honest with you, I really can't think of anybody else that, you know, should be favored to win it. I mean, Bailey, and again, she lost last night to Bianca Belair, but guess what? You don't have to have huge momentum to win this thing. You have to be lucky. And Bailey is also smart, right? She does have a brain, and she knows how, you know, she's very aware of her surroundings, and she's a very smart, you know, competitor in that ring, or at least that's what her character is. So, yeah, I think it should be Bailey, because then if Sasha, or even if Carmella wins the title tomorrow, she goes on to WrestleMania and wrestles somebody that, you know, is a really good friend of hers, right? And you can have that dynamic. And if you have that dynamic with somebody, the match always turns out to be really good. So, yes, I'm going with Bailey.
Okay. Kenny, who you got?
I've got Rhea Ripley. And simply the fact is because first of all, if they don't do it right away, they're going to kill her like everybody else who goes from the NXT to the main roster. So this is the moment for that right now. Plus, they're bringing in all these other nobodies. They hired that fucking, Darby Allin's ex-wife. They're bringing her in. I mean, come on. Like, and I'll tell you what, whoever hired her definitely didn't do their research, because there's no way that woman would be in. If Vince McMahon knew what she did in the indies, there's no way she would have got a job. But that's not here today. But Rhea Ripley, she's got everything. You know, they're not. I like Bailey. Don't get me wrong. I think she is doing great work. But, you know, I think Rhea Ripley just got all. She's got the look. She's got the move. She's got the momentum. I mean, there is no other person who would. I mean, out of all, I mean, Bailey and Charlotte already won it, so they don't need to win it again. And not Bailey, but Becky, but she might not even be back, but then again, she might be. I've been hearing conflicting reports. But, you know, I don't think there's anybody else who needs to win it. And again, if they're not going to, they're going to actually do something with her and not screw her up like they like to do with everybody they bring up, she's got to be the winner. And, you know, she's got all the tools and she just needs them to get out of the fucking way.
All right. Before we move on to Clintus Point, can we break some news here?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Clintus, I know you're watching this, because I kind of heard your reaction.
Yes, I am watching, but.
All right.
I'm watching by Facebook,
yeah. Randy Orton and Edge are going to be the number one and number two entries in tomorrow's Men's Royal Rumble. And Natalya's
okay.
Number 30 in the women's.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, not the Natalya part. It's going to be exciting, but the Edge part, because, and this also works out for our buddy Stevie, because if Randy Orton lasts the longest in the Rumble,
he gets points.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Didn't mean to interrupt. I just felt like we needed to break the news, even though, like I said, Clintus already.
All right, Clintus, who's going to win the female Royal Rumble and why?
All right. I'm going to go with Bianca Belair. I want to go. Why? Because she's one of the hottest superstars right now in SmackDown. She's on fire. This whole feud with Bayley, it's really outshining them all. And I think they're pushing her harder than any other of these women that's in the so-called Royal Rumble.
All right.
I think she's going to be the next big star in there.
Very well could be. Ding, ding. Doug, go ahead and argue.
Okay. So, I agree with Clintus as to, you know, Bianca Belair is going to be the next big star, but I don't think it's happening yet. I think she had a breakout performance at last year's Royal Rumble, you know, entering number, what was it, two?
Yeah.
She had a breakout performance there. I don't think that she's ready for something like this yet. I do think that her time will come. But it's not her time yet. And as far as Rhea Ripley goes, should she win the Royal Rumble? Probably. Should she win the Royal Rumble? Yes, probably. But will she? No. Because for two reasons. One is because it's Vince booking the show, not Triple H. And two, like, I mean, yes, she's due for a call-up. I have no doubt she's going to be in the Rumble. But they're going to do the same thing with her tomorrow that they did with Shayna Baszler last year. Make her look like she's going to win
it. My point, exactly.
Somebody is going to come up and dump her from behind. That somebody is going to be Bayley. They're going to have an accomplished star come in and win the Rumble. Bayley is an accomplished star. Okay? Bayley, it would be between either Bayley or Charlotte. Can't have Charlotte. I mean, you can have Charlotte do it 2 years in a row, but there's really no point. Bayley, this would really cement Bayley's legacy. There's plenty of time down the road for Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair to cement their legacy. All right, Bianca's in her mid 20s. Rhea's 24. I know that. I don't know exactly how old Bianca is, but I know she's not that much older. So there's still time. Bayley, you know, she's accomplished so much already. Give her one more. And, but yeah, like, I don't think the other two are technically ready yet. I think they will have decent performances at the Rumble tomorrow, but it's not their time.
Your response, Kenny?
Yeah, again, I'm not saying there aren't points that, but I mean, I didn't think, for all, you know, the shit Vince gets deservedly, I think he even sees that Rhea Ripley is a big deal because she's so much, she just has a better presence than most of the other female wrestlers, I should say. I mean, even though she's only like 5'8", she just seems to be freaking gigantic compared to them. And I think that you'll end up, you know, I hope they don't do that stupid thing where they bump her out like they did with Bianca Belair. But I just can't see them, you know, I think as much as I like all three of these women, I just don't see them going with Bianca Belair just for a couple reasons. I just don't think they see her as a star, and I don't know why, but I just, you get the feeling like, you know, that out of everybody, even though she does great work, like nobody in the company, she's just like there, right? And it's hard to stand out in a women's division that, you know, is is competent, if nothing else. But my take on it is that Rhea Ripley just is the only one that needs it. I mean, honestly. I mean, they're not even if, you know, they're going to actually do something with her, and she is a star, and that's the thing, is that everyone, you know, you feel that, and I just don't think anybody else gets it.
All right. Clintus, you got anything else?
Yeah. I want to, like, put the nail in that coffin and just finish it off. It's just that Rhea Ripley is not going to win the Royal Rumble. She's just not going to. It has a Shayna Baszler experiment all over that name. That's what I think of when you made that argument with Rhea Ripley. It's a Shayna Baszler experiment all over again. Bayley, she has a great time. Her time as the longest reigning SmackDown champion, but what exactly, what kind of feud is she going to build for another Sasha after a prolonged breaking up of that tag team and then finally getting that match at Hell in a Cell and then moving on? That's trying to rekindle another feud between Sasha and Bayley. I don't think it's not going to happen. You need fresh eyes. This is the fourth women's World Rumble match of all. And I think Bianca Belair is on fire right now. I think she's going to be it. She is the it factor of this World Rumble match.
Is everyone good? You wanna...
I don't see them pulling the trigger on Bianca Belair right now. I do agree she's on fire, but that doesn't, in the Royal Rumble, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, it doesn't mean, and I understand, maybe it might not mean anything, but Bayley has done everything. She's the first ever Grand Slam champion.
Except for winning the Rumble.
But this is the 4-4 Rumble. She's going to be, it's plenty of other times. Right now, you mean to tell me if she wins that Royal Rumble, they're going to move her over to Raw? I don't think so. And I am not going to think they're going to have Sasha drop the belt after what she been through with the Raw Women's Championship, just playing hot potato with that title that whole time, that gave her and allow her to drop it and drop it to the no, she's not going to lose. And they're not going to have another Sasha Bayley match coming no time soon, especially at WrestleMania. That's not going to happen.
Okay. I mean, they could move her over to Raw. I mean, she's basically been the one person that has known how to, well, besides Charlotte, that knows how to beat Asuka. I mean, she beat Asuka at SummerSlam. She survived Asuka at Clash of Champions. She's got a pretty decent record against Asuka. So, yeah, have her do that. And then she could go on and she could be the longest reigning Raw Women's Champion.
Exactly what I was going to say. When I was going to...
Okay, so they could do that. It's just, it's not time. They're going to fuck up Rhea Ripley coming up to the main roster. Okay? So, like, her winning the Royal Rumble is out of the question. Unfortunately. Bianca Belair, she had... You know, you just said, Clint, that Bayley has plenty of opportunities to win the Rumble. So does Bianca Belair, because they're not getting rid of Bianca anytime soon. Unless she, you know, opens up an OnlyFans. Jesus. Well, they did it to Zelina Vega, okay? Because she was going to be one of the biggest stars in the women's division. She opens up an OnlyFans, and now, you know, she can't even collect, she can't even spend Aleister Black's money because he's not even on television. So, they're not going to get rid of Bianca anytime soon. But this is right time. You have to go with an accomplished star, I believe. Bayley is accomplished. So, Bayley should win the Rumble, or the Women's Rumble tomorrow.
All right. Ding, ding. That was the end of round four. Another very productive round. Great way to kind of close it, maybe.
We're open.
I heard a lot of great points from everybody. Kenny really hammered home the fact that Rhea Ripley is the only one that needs this. And he had a lot of good points for that. Clint, about Bianca Belair becoming one of the biggest stars. Very good points there. I'm actually going to have to give this one to my brother, because the way Doug really sold about Bayley cementing her legacy and kind of took down the other two arguments in good fashion. So I'm going to have to go Doug on this one. Eric, the fate of this competition is in your hands. Who are you giving your point to, sir? What do you think?
Oh, God, this is hard. Kind of won a bonus round.
Well, don't think about that. Who had the best argument?
All three of them did. So I thought you were going to go another way. That you were going to.
So you were going to pick me until Daniel did. You son of a bitch.
Do you think Doug had the best argument? Choose whoever you got.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Doug.
Oh,
all right.
Come on.
Whoa. Yo, that's because he kissed up to you picking your favorite superstar. That's exactly why he did it.
I knew this was...
No. Because I think they are going to have Bayley versus Asuka at WrestleMania.
Man, you started seeing, you know, I'm really starting to sound, you're starting to sound like that NFC Championship referee throwing that late flag and that pass interference right now. Exactly.
All right. Okay, so our official verdict, a controversial decision, obviously. But
do you want to change yours, Daniel?
No, I'm not changing mine. This is the way it went. Doug.
Hey, at least Daniel was straight up honest, though.
He was honest.
Our
final score.
I could have gone another way and gone been a death, but. Huh?
Hey, the final score is 4-2. Dougie is our first Settle It in the Ring champion, so you will be obligated to return, sir, at some point.
Yeah.
Kenny and Clinith, it was all a joy as usual. This was a pleasure. This was a great time. Thank you guys for coming on.
You'll be back one time. I'm challenging the both of them.
Oh yeah, no, they could all always come back whenever. But
I'm definitely coming back.
you're coming back. But, I want to thank Kenny and Clinith. Thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome.
Thank you. It was awesome. That was a lot of fun, guys.
Yeah, it was.
All right, guys, that was settled in the ring.
I have an official challenge for somebody. I'm going to call somebody out if he's listening. All right.
Go ahead, issue your challenge, Eric, before we head home here.
I'm gonna issue my challenge to Boxman.
All right, Boxman, you heard it. Maybe we'll have Doug, Eric, and Boxman on the next one. So now that that's out and open, this is Settled in the Ring, the Royal Rumble edition. Gentlemen, this was a great time, and we will see everybody next time.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Bye.
Later, guys.